Pastor Ray Bentley with insight on the good news the angels shared with the disciples.
Why did the angels roll the stone away? It was not to let Jesus out. Jesus has already risen, and he became the first of all who now would believe and trust in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the angel comes and says, Jesus is alive. He is risen. He will meet you in Galilee.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. The door of the empty tomb was opened, miraculously. The door to God is open to sinners, miraculously. Both miracles are part of the Easter story, the good news that Jesus paid the price for our sins, opening our access to God. Today, Pastor Ray helps us prepare for Easter.
Mark chapter 16, but he begins in verse 1 of chapter 16. He says, Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, Do not be alarmed. You see Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. And so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. When those women woke up, and when they wanted to go to the tomb, they were like, if you have family members that have died and passed away, you want to go to the their graveside, you maybe bring some flowers, and you want to remember them, and you want to just have some quiet time and grieve and sorrow and think about their loss. Well, how fresh was this? These women were not expecting that they weren't really looking and expecting the resurrection, even though Jesus had told them plainly. He had told them and he had told the disciples, guys, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day I'm going to rise from the dead. He had told them that plainly. But you wonder, where was everybody? Why weren't they there all excited? You would think, if this were a kind of a man-made story in some way or another, then all the disciples would be there, and they would all be on their knees from early, early in the morning, and they would be lifting up their hands and waiting. We know that he's going to rise from the dead today. But that's not what we find. They forgot what Jesus had said, or, because that's what one of the scriptures tells us, is that they didn't remember what he had said. The other word that is given to us is that when Jesus told them what was going to happen, sometimes Jesus would say things and he was speaking metaphorically. And it's possible that they thought, well, he's talking something about going to Jerusalem and this horrible thing's going to happen and then a resurrection. But they probably took it in some metaphorical fashion. All of them were shocked beyond belief when Jesus was taken and he didn't use his power. He didn't use his miraculous might. He didn't use his ability to cause them to be under his control. He basically yielded himself as a lamb going to the slaughter. But as they come in, the stone being rolled away, the angel is there to tell them Jesus is risen. They're still absolutely bewildered. Well, 2,000 years ago, on the morning of Resurrection Sunday, there were three surprises that happened. Number one, the stone rolled away. And I like to remind people, because in one of the Gospels it says the stone is rolled away and there was an angel sitting on the stone. I want you to try to use your imagination for just a moment. Okay, you've got basically a cave with an entrance carved out of solid rock. They had a little trough where there was a circular, large, disc-like stone. In fact, you go to the Middle East, you can see these gigantic stones weighing several tons. They're carved with a little trough at a little bit of an elevation so that by gravity, once the stone rolls down into its seated place in front of the mouth of the cave, it's there. It can't move. So now the stone has been removed and the angel is sitting on it. And that stone, it's a tomb stone. It's a grave marker. And all of us have lost loved ones. Do you remember how old you were when the first person in your family died? I know for me it was my grandfather on the Bentley side, on my dad's side. And I remember as he died, and that was the first time I really had to deal with death. You know, you're just a little guy. What happened? Where's Grandpa? Well, he died. Where did he go? He went to heaven. Why? Where is he? I miss him. And the pain and the reality of death. How awful that death is. What a thief and what a robber that it is. And you know, one of the things that I think that speaks to us of why death is not natural. I know that there's a theory, if you take just a purely scientific view of things, hey, it's just the way things are, and you come for a little while, you die, and then that's it, and there's nothing more. If that's really the way it is, why is it that almost physically, mentally, emotionally, let alone the core of our spiritual being, something within us is ripped and torn and screams and says, no, I don't want them to die. I don't want to suffer their loss. I want to be with them. It's because God has created us in our DNA, literally, physically, in every atom of your being. We were made originally in the image of God. And we were meant to live forever. Death is an aberration. Death is abnormal. Death is not what God had in mind. And that's why there is such pain and sorrow and grief to it. And so in a sense, you know, you look at this tombstone and the angel sitting on it. I can imagine being the angel saying, okay, look, here's your assignment from heaven. You get to go down to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Move the stone out of the way. Because I am removing forever the tombstone and that heavy gate of death and depression and sorrow. I want you to fling it aside. I can imagine that angel saying, all right, I think that's a cool assignment. And then he rolls it aside easily. And then in triumph, he just sits on top of it, his little angelic legs kicking back and forth. Can't wait. Okay, pretty soon the humans will be here looking for the dead Jesus, but he's not here. He is risen. As he said, what great news that angel was able to give. And I like to remind people, why did the angels roll the stone away? It was not to let Jesus out. Jesus is already alive. He's already risen. The grave clothes, when Peter went in finally to see the tomb where Jesus was, because he couldn't believe it either. He hears from the women. He runs to the tomb. Jesus had been wound with these linen strips. And by the way, from Jesus' neck down to his feet, kind of that, like the Egyptian mummies. It says this mummy kind of wrappings of his whole body. It wasn't as if somebody came and unwound him and there's all these strips laying, one separately for his head and another one for his body. It is as if, and literally it is, his body is there, he is wound from head down to the feet, and the body disappears and the grave clothes just collapsed. In their windings, as they were around the body, they merely collapsed. There was no unwinding. There was no unraveling. The body had disappeared because Jesus was alive, risen, resurrected, and he became the first of all who now would believe and trust in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So the stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let the disciples in so that they could see the grave clothes had fallen flat and that Jesus was alive. And then there are the two angels that are standing there and that tell them Jesus is alive. He will meet you in Galilee. The message that the angels gave is interesting. They're in Jerusalem. And right there in Jerusalem, that's where Jesus was crucified, that's where he was buried, and that's where he rose from the dead. And the angel comes and says, Jesus is alive. He is risen. He will meet you in Galilee, some 90 miles away. They're in, you know, the northern part of Israel, around the Sea of Galilee, this very beautiful, peaceful place. And so here we have the stone rolled away, Jesus wanting to meet them in Galilee. One of the things that Jesus did tell his disciples, he said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I want to just take a couple of moments and talk about Jesus saying, I am the door. To really be spiritual, it also has to be practical. And you know, does it work? Is this really working with you? Jesus said, there is a door. I am the door to heaven. I am the door to my Father's house. I am the door that will let you in to the sheepfold and all the glories that God has for you. If you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, may I suggest you go through that door. There are a lot of people that in relationships, they find that it's difficult and they don't know quite how to build a relationship with somebody else. I suggest the same way as Jesus said you enter into a house, you go through the front door, so also there is a front door in every relationship. May I say that very simply and very practically, Jesus said, you want to know my Father, you want to go into his house, you want the benefits of heaven and the angels and all the mansions that are there, come through the door. It's very simple, it's very easy. Now the door may be narrow, but it's a lot easier, and it's the proper way to go. Jesus said, I am the door to my Father. If you want to know my Father, come to me, come through me. John chapter 10, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. What difference does Easter make? I want to just give you three quick things. First of all, Jesus shows his deep purpose. In John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus, when you believe in him, when you call upon his name, just say the name Jesus with me. Jesus. You say that name and you believe in that name and you trust in that name. Guess whose undivided attention you just got? God Almighty. God Almighty in heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, this tiny little speck called the planet Earth, and this vast universe which God spans with his right hand. The moment that you and I say, Jesus, God the Father's heart is touched, and he looks, and he listens. That you want to know the way to touch the heart of God, Almighty God, all-powerful God? You want to literally shake, as it were, the windows of heaven. Just say the name Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus' purpose. John 3:17. We all know John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I like the next verse. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus, God sent his Son not to condemn the world. God's not interested in condemning you. We are generally pretty good at condemning ourselves, condemning one another. But Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him, Jesus, might be saved. That's his purpose, to save you, to love you, to give you these rivers of living water of which he speaks concerning the Holy Spirit. Jesus' death shows his passion. Romans chapter 5, 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think of that for just a moment. When we were sinners, sinners means in rebellion against God. How many of you can honestly admit here this morning that you've sinned in your life? And can you admit that you've blown it, you've done things you shouldn't have done? And then sometimes we do it belligerently and we do it willfully, arrogantly, pridefully. I'm going to do that. God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you were at your worst, when you were at your most selfish, when you were the most mean, when you were the most living for yourself, Jesus Christ looked and loved you and had compassion upon you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more is he able to manifest that love once we stop and turn around and say, I'm sorry, Jesus, for what I've done. I want your forgiveness. I want a relationship with you. Finally, Jesus' resurrection shows his power. And I love this about Jesus wants to share his life and share his presence and share his spirit and share his power with us. He goes, I want to be with you and I want to be in you and I want to live in you. He says, I want to write my law upon the tablets of your mind and I want to write my will and my personality on the tablet, the fleshly tablet of your heart. And I will give you power. Power like you have never known before. And I wonder if there are any of you here this morning that are saying, you know, I just feel like as life goes on, I'm running out of strength. I'm running out of power. I feel like I'm losing, in some ways, my energy. Sometimes we need power to start all over again. Like Humpty Dumpty, we've totally fallen apart. How do I get my life moving again if it gets slowed down, bogged down, or overwhelmed? By surrendering your life to the presence and the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We need God's power, and it's available, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Ephesians chapter 1 says, what is this exceeding power that he has shown toward the believer, which is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Amen? And I want to give you an opportunity to receive his presence, his power, and his spirit, and be rekindled to him, to go through the door, and to know him. Would you all bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the first thing that I want to ask is this. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, you know what, Pastor Ray, when you pray, pray for me. I want to know that when I die, I'll go to heaven. I want to know that my sins have been forgiven. I want to know that I will spend eternity with the Lord. I want to know that when I die, I too will be resurrected and reunited with all my family that I have lost. And with all those in the future that I can spend eternity with them. And so there must come a definite moment in time in every person's life where you make a choice. Now, God on his side has already made a choice. He's already said, I love you. He sent his son. And as I mentioned earlier, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He knocks at the door of your heart. But you have to open the door. To have a relationship, it takes two. God says, I love you. I love you so much I sent my son for you. And I died for you, Jesus said, even when you were sinners and my enemies. But do you want me? Do you love me? Do you need me? Do you want my forgiveness? Do you want a relationship with me? You have to choose him back. God's chosen you, but you have to choose him in order to enter into that relationship. Have you ever done that? That's what I want to ask you this morning. Are you ready to say yes? Someone has well said that the doorknob of the human soul or the human heart is only on the inside. Only you can open the door. And in a moment, I'm going to say a prayer with you. Prayer is a, you know, fancy word for talking with God. And what I'm going to do is lead you in a very simple childlike prayer, and you're going to open the door of your soul and the deepest part of your heart. And Jesus, who is standing there, been with you, your whole life is going to come in. Here's what he will do. He'll take away your loneliness. He'll take away your emptiness, that feeling of futility and frustration. He'll remove your guilt and the burden of all of your sins and take that weight off of your shoulders. And finally, He'll give you the hope of eternal life. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many of you would say, yes, Pastor Ray, pray for me. I want to go to heaven. I want my sins forgiven. I want my loneliness taken away, my emptiness removed, my guilt forgiven, my sins washed away, and the hope of eternal life. God bless you. Let me ask this. How many of you would say, okay, Pastor Ray, look, I'm here. I know. I believe in Jesus. I have followed Him. But the truth of the matter is that you have drifted, or maybe you have not been walking with Him as you once were. You don't feel close to Him anymore. Maybe when you were young, you did. Maybe you had there was a tenderness at a younger age where you felt alive and you felt His Spirit and God ministered to you and spoke to you and the Word of God was alive and the joy of your salvation was something that you enjoyed and rejoiced in. But things have happened. Maybe there are things that people have done to you or hurt you or wounded you, or, hey, we live in a fallen and a broken world. You want to be refreshed. You want to be renewed. You say, well, what can I do? You can do this. You can recommit your heart and life to Him. You can turn around and face Him and surrender to Him in a fresh way. You can lift your heart to Him and you can say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I've wandered, or I'm sorry that I have maybe walked away, or I'm sorry that I have stumbled. Lord, forgive me. I love You. I need You. I want You. Please refresh me, renew me, restore the joy of my salvation. If there's anybody here that expresses the desire of your heart and you would like to recommit your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, God knows you. He knows where you've been, what you've gone through, and all that you've suffered. Father, I thank You for these. Lord, they're eager. They are early. They want everything that You have to offer them. Thank You for them, Lord. Bless them. Strengthen them. Help them to stand and to receive all that You are offering this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen.
An important prayer from Pastor Ray Bentley. And if you'd like to commit your life to the Lord, it's as simple as praying and asking the Lord to forgive you. You can get some step-by-step help at maranatharadio.com. Just click Knowing God. And if you'd like some free follow-up materials, write to us at the mailing address we'll provide in just a moment. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention When the Stone Was Rolled Away. It's available for just $7. Again, the title, When the Stone Was Rolled Away. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. You may know that Pastor Ray has partnered with God's people in Israel, including Judea and Samaria, the area known as the West Bank. There, he witnesses the fulfillment of prophecy firsthand. Well, he's written a new book that draws on his experience with the Jewish people and his experience being a student of the Scriptures for the past four decades. It's called The Holy Land Key. It's your introduction to prophetic signs that God reveals in sometimes unexpected ways.
The Jewish feasts of the Lord, they're listed in Leviticus 23. There are seven of them. All seven point to the Messiah. They all point and are fulfilled in Jesus. And the first four of them point to the first coming of Christ. And the last three point to the second coming of Christ.
You may have rushed right past the biblical account of these feasts in the past. Well, Pastor Ray shows you they have a lot to do with your future. In The Holy Land Key, he brings an insider's perspective to what God is doing in the lives of God's chosen people today, and what we can learn from ancient Hebrew writings about events yet to come. Again, it's called The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's available now in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or connect on Twitter. He's @RayBentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more insights to help us prepare our hearts for Easter. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.